Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Periodically, I get comments on my channel that strike me as unusual, and sometimes I feel inclined to respond to them. And I used to make lists, and every Friday I would do a thing called Foo for Raw Friday or something to that effect. And I don't always do them on any periodical time frame. I just do them when they occur to me. I make a list, and when the list gets too big, I do a video. I can tell you that yesterday I had a comment to one of my videos where a guy said, "Steve, I'd watch your videos, but you laugh too much. You laugh too much." So he said, "If you stop laughing during your videos, I'd consider subscribing." So I'm going to do an entire video right now without laughing at anything I say. I won't laugh at anything you say either. Serious, Steve. So I can tell you that a gentleman wrote me a rather passionate email about how upset he was that the Canadian robot lady in her introduction says, "Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto." And he said that "once again" makes no sense. He said, because if you do it once, you can't be doing it again. And if you're doing it again, it couldn't be once. And of course, "once again" is one of those strange sayings in our language that's come a long way and morphed over time. And apparently at one point or another, it actually said "once and again" or something like that. And so he actually said to me, he goes, "Steve, it'd be very easy for you to chop that out of your intro and just have her say, 'Welcome to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.'" And he actually went to the trouble of downloading the WAV file of one of my videos and chopping it out to show me how easy it was to chop out. The problem, of course, is I could have her say almost anything I wanted to. I could just send it to her and say, "Hey, can you redo this for me?" She'd redo it. We don't have to go out and chop it out. But the thing is that I like "once again." Welcome once again to Leto's Law. And I wrote him back and I said, "Well, I'm sure you understand that our language morphs over time, and the fact that it now seems to be contradictory or impossible, we all know what it means. I'm welcoming you back." I could say "welcome back to Leto's Law," but I don't like the way that sounds. "Back" sounds too harsh compared to "once again." And "welcome once again" sounds to me more welcoming, but also has almost like a storytelling feel to it, you know? And I want people to think that there's something welcoming and just friendly about the show. So I wrote him back and I said, "Well, you know, thank you for the note and I appreciate the history lesson on the derivation of once again, but I think most people understand what I mean." And he actually wrote me a really nasty email in response to that. And I had thought the first email was kind of friendly. Apparently it wasn't. And so I just wound up blocking him. But I can tell you that our language does change over time. And for instance, and I think I told him this, but I don't remember, that we say, you know, "I can't go to the store," or "I won't go to the store." And "can't," of course, and "won't" are contractions. "Can't" means, you know, cannot. And "won't" means will not. Where does the "o" come from in "will not"? And of course, it comes from the older version of the word, which is "wool," W-O-L-L. "I will not go to the store." But over time, that became "will," because a lot of vowels shifted over time, the great vowel shift. And so we hung on to "won't," because "won't" sounds better than "willn't." But that's just how it is. And I could correct anybody who says "won't" and say, "Excuse me, are you really saying I will not do that?" So the idea that the Canadian robot lady in the introduction, her name is Heather, by the way, says, "Welcome once again to Leto's Law." It's actually, like I said, on purpose. It's designed to be welcoming. And by the way, it's what I used to say. I used to do my own introductions. And then I decided to have her do them because I thought I could save some time doing that. So that's how that works. And again, I apologize if this seems too drab for you, but I'm not laughing this entire video. If I laugh, by the way, if I screw up and laugh, I will chop it out. So if you see any sloppy edits, it's because I've laughed. I did a video about biking, and I was talking about whether or not you can get arrested or ticketed for speeding or breaking traffic laws on a bicycle. And I mentioned that in Michigan and many states, you are allowed to ride a bicycle on the roadway so long as you stay as far to the right as practical, or something to that effect. And I forgot what the exact language is in Michigan, but most states say just keep to the right, keep to the right. And I had several bikers comment to me and explain to me their various theories on how they bike. And one guy actually said, he goes, "You're crazy if you bike that way." He goes, "I biked down the middle of the lane, right down the middle of the lane." He goes, "That way people won't hit me." And I said, "Yeah, but that's illegal." And he goes, "No, it's not." He goes, "You see, The law says that you have to stay as far to the right as practical, as I consider that practical. And I said, but you're in the middle of the lane. You are obstructing traffic. It's one of the things you're not allowed to do on a bicycle. And he said, well, I'll take that chance because I don't want to get killed. And I said, but if you're blocking the lane, you're more likely to anger the person in the car behind you. And they're the one with a big, gigantic, heavy machine they can just press on the gas pedal and run you over. Do you want to anger them by breaking the law? And again, that's one of those emails that degenerated into him explaining how he bikes thousands of miles a year and he knows what he's talking about. And what's strange, I guess, and again, this is a theme that runs through a lot of the emails where people complain. A lot of the people who complain don't know me that well. So I'll notice that someone I've never heard from before writes me their first email and says, hey, Steve, apparently you don't know. And they explain to me that I do know. And I bike thousands of miles a year, too. People who know me know that. I bike twice a day, usually in the summertime. And I'm not even counting the Peloton. And it's wintertime, I Peloton twice a day. But, you know, I bike a lot. So to suggest that you as a biker understand is better than I do because I'm just a lawyer who's a biker. I had to cut that out. Sorry, I laughed. Hang on, I gotta go to my serene, serious space. I mentioned in a video not too long ago that I owned an M35A2 deuce and a half army truck, and I owned it for quite a few years. And while I owned it, I drove it all over Michigan. I drove it the Upper Peninsula twice, took it to Woodrum Dream Cruise twice, put thousands of miles on it, did oil changes on it, ran many, many tanks of fuel through it. And I mentioned that the M35A2 is a diesel engine and I blah, 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 blah. And I had two people, but one in particular got very angry with me. And he goes, it's not a diesel, it's a multi-fuel. He goes, just check the identification tag on the door frame. It's a multi-fuel. It's a multi-fuel. It's not diesel. And I wrote the guy back and I said, it's a multi-fuel diesel. It's diesel. It is a diesel engine. And for those of you who don't know, and again, I know most of the audience knows this, but just so you don't, those of you who don't know, there's different cycles. They refer to different cycles and they describe engines. And you can refer to a two-cycle engine, two-stroke engine, four-cycle, four-stroke. And you can also reference something like the diesel cycle versus the cycle you have in a typical gasoline engine. And the big distinction in most diesel engines, in most, I mean all, is that on the compression stroke, the piston goes up. And there's not a spark plug at the top that sparks the ignition to cause the explosion that drives the piston back. What happens is on the upstroke, the compression happens and the fuel air mixture gets compressed to the point where it detonates on its own. And that detonation then pushes the piston back. And that's referred to as a diesel cycle engine. And you may have heard the concept that some engines, when something's really, really screwed up and you shut them off and pull the key out and it keeps running, they refer to that as dieseling. I did not laugh there. I was coughing. They refer to that as dieseling. The engine is dieseling because it is continuing to cycle through and there are explosions taking place without a spark plug actually sparking the explosion. So the engine in an M35A2 is in fact a multi-fuel diesel engine. Multi-fuel is a reference to the fact that it burns several different kinds of fuel, including diesel fuel. It also burns jet fuel. So the guy wrote back to me, he goes, Steve, it burns multi-fuel, therefore it's multi-fuel. I said, in that case, it burns jet fuel, must be a jet engine. And he said, well, that's stupid. And I said, no, but it's a reference to the cycle, the diesel cycle. It's a diesel engine. It's a multi-fuel diesel engine. And he goes, no, it's a multi-fuel engine. He's calling it a diesel engine. It's wrong. And it can be both. And this guy actually continued writing me emails going, but you're wrong. And here's the one thing I have to say to you. I get a lot of emails from people, and after two or three, they go, I'm just joking. If I'm not talking to you face-to-face and you're saying something that you think is funny and it's not funny, it's not a joke. You might think it's a joke. So I'm going to suggest that if you write me an email in which you think you're joking, but it's not funny or you're not sure it's funny, you might want to put at the bottom, by the way, I'm joking. Because I have people who do that too. I'll be reading going, what? Huh? Oh, I'm joking. And then I understand, oh, it's a joke. That makes sense. But to sit there and send me two or three emails in a row saying your M35 multi-fuel diesel engine is not a diesel engine, because it's multi-fuel, is missing the fact that it's a diesel engine. It is a diesel engine. It's a multi-fuel diesel engine. So I did the video about oil lights and what the oil warning light means. And I'm talking about old school cars that only have one warning light regarding the oil. There are modern cars that have two. Some modern cars have a system where there's an oil warning light like they talk about. But another thing where you can go in and check the life of the oil. That's another one. I actually had a guy go, Steve, I'm a mechanic. And you got it backwards. The oil light is oil level, not oil pressure. Which is kind of funny because I had about 100 mechanics go, Steve, thank you for explaining that. You got it right. So I have gotten, in the last 2 weeks, two separate emails from people who said, Steve, I did not laugh. I stumbled over some words. Last couple weeks, I've gotten two emails from someone who said, Steve, I'm so disappointed in a recent video you did. I've now unsubscribed. I'll never watch you again. And then they write me this lengthy email. Why? Why? Because if you're writing me a lengthy email saying you're never going to watch me again, is there any reason I would make the change that you're suggesting to try to win you back or something? I mean, I can look at the video and see how many people watched it. I can look at the video and see how many people thumbs upped it versus thumbs downed it. And one person, I'll assume that they give it a thumbs down. I can still do the math. But to write me a lengthy email, say you're so disappointed in me that you've unsubscribed. I blocked your email, so I've unsubscribed from you. I'm sorry I laughed. I will not laugh again. I did a video a couple days ago. I took my Viper for a drive out in the country, driving around. And it was overcast, but not raining. And I said very early in the video, I was watching the weather reports because I obviously can't drive the Viper in the rain for obvious reasons. I used the word obvious twice, which kind of bummed me out, but I left it in. And I had three people go, why can't you drive the Viper in the rain? And one guy goes, it must have a leaky roof. Why else would you not drive your car in the rain? And now I understand that some people might be joking there, but the fact that three different people asked, why can't you drive the car in the rain, means I probably should address it. And the reason is that I've mentioned before, I bought the Viper with 4,000 miles on it. It's got 7,000 now. And the guy who owned it before me never drove it in the rain. And I know that because the wheel wells have got paper stickers in them from when it came down the assembly line. They're still there, 21 years later. I had a guy from the Viper Club of Michigan meet me at a car show. And I showed him that because I've never seen those outside the factory. Because those come off the first time you drive it in the rain. But if you have a car that you like and you don't have to drive it, a second car, sports car or something, if you wash it and you wax it and you keep it clean in a garage, if you take it out and drive it in the rain, it messes the car up. I mean, really? So the fact is, guys are debating whether or not the car leaks in the rain. I wouldn't know, but I don't think so. I've washed it before and water didn't get inside the car. I don't drive it in the rain because, number one, why would I want to? And number two, it'd mess the car up. So if I drove it in the rain today, I'd have to take it out, wash it, and wax it again. Instead, I'm going to go for a drive. It's not raining. And then I also get these emails from people who say, I'm surprised you didn't know. And then they'll explain something that I knew. And again, if it's a joke, that's not funny. And if it's not obviously a joke, I'm looking at it going, wait, did they watch the video or not? I did a recent video on small claims court. And I said, for people who don't know what small claims court is, I go, People's Court, Judge Judy, whatever. I go, those shows are basically small claims court actions that have been plucked from the courts by TV producers. And they bring the parties in and have them argue in front of a judge instead of in a small claims court setting. I said, but the procedure that you see on TV is a lot like small claims court. I had a guy actually write to me and go, Steve, I'm surprised you didn't know that those TV shows aren't happening in a courtroom. They're happening on TV. He goes, they go to courtrooms, courthouses, and get the cases from small claims court and bring the people in and they film it. And that's what you're seeing, which is exactly what I described in the video. And he actually started by saying, I'm surprised you didn't know this. And there's a thing about this long where he's explaining the process exactly as I described it in the video. So I don't know if the guy watched the first 30 seconds of the video and stopped and then wrote me an angry email, or if he watched the video but wasn't paying attention, or if he watched the video while dropping, like, I don't know, ecstasy or something, and then wasn't sure where he learned what and decided to write. But here's a tip. If you're writing an email to me and you think I got something wrong and you want to be polite about it, you should say, hey, Steve, I'm curious about something. In your video, you said this. I was under the impression of this, and here's why I thought this. What are your thoughts on that? Because I get those emails too. So if somebody had said to me, Steve, I'm curious, you called your engine in your M35 a diesel. Is it a diesel or is it a multi-fuel? And I'd write you back, what's a multi-fuel diesel? It's a multi-fuel diesel. And if you look up the definition of a diesel engine on the internet, it's easy to do, it'll describe exactly what the engine in the M35 is, except that the M35 engine's been tweaked to accommodate different kinds of fuels along with diesel fuel. But at its heart, it's a diesel engine. So instead of saying, I'm surprised you didn't know this, you idiot, or whatever, you should say, I'm curious. You said this. I've always thought this. What's the case? I've had people write me very, very polite emails where they'll ask a question. I'll go, I've always heard this. What about this? And I go, oh, and I point out some little thing that they got wrong. I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm sorry. And then finally, I should end on this simply because I forgot to mention it earlier. Normally, I'd laugh right there, but I didn't. I use an Electrovoice RE20 microphone, and it's also in the logo of my show. That is a cartoon version of this microphone, stylized with the Finnish flag. And the Electrovoice RE20 is the best-known broadcast microphone in North America, probably the world, but I'm not that up on broadcasters in Europe and Asia and other places. But if you watch, like, for instance, Frasier uses one on KACL. Every radio station I worked at used them except for one. And this is the broadcast standard. It's considered to be the best broadcast microphone there is, bar none. I got an email from a guy, he goes, stop using that microphone. It hurts my ears. And I go, what do you mean it hurts your ears? And he goes, you need to get a better microphone. He goes, I don't know why you use the RE20. Then he went into this big, long dissertation about how long he's worked in the recording industry. And I wrote him back and I said, I'm curious. I go, do you write to other people on YouTube and complain? Because most of them don't use a microphone this good. If mine hurts your ears, what about other channels? He didn't respond to that at all. He just came back and he goes, dude, I know more about microphones than you do. And he goes, you could spend more money and get a better microphone. I love my RE20. I love it. And I'm not going to spend more money because one guy claims that his ears hurt when listening to Leto's Law, recorded with an RE20. So that's a list of things that have come to my attention in the last week or so. Largely people complaining about stuff or making strange comments, including the guy who said I should stop laughing in my videos. So if I've edited this video correctly and removed the one or two little chuckles that snuck out, I believe I've managed to do this entire video without laughing. So comment below. If this is better substantially than all my other videos, let me know and I'll stop laughing entirely. Also, if my video audio is hurting your ears, let me know and I'll consider upgrading the RE20. I'll cut that out also. Questions, comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Life is about accepting the challenges along the way, choosing to keep moving forward, and savoring the journey.